Hello, and welcome to Broadcast Bullies Podcast. This episode, we discuss the expansion draft, we catch up on the Flyers news, and where the hell were we? All that and more, this is episode 86. And now for your hosts, Mark Zamaro of Calkins Media, and me, Tyler Mizutovich. Man, they should have protected us in the for the expansion draft, I guess, huh?
I know. Yeah, as many people know, there are many Philadelphia Flyers podcasts, and unfortunately, we were not on the protected list, so we were claimed by Las Vegas.
Yeah, and I'm assuming we're the only Vegas podcast now, so things are probably going to start looking up for us.
Yeah.
I'm thinking maybe we might make a dollar or two.
Yeah, so if anybody was wondering where we've been, we've been checking out our new digs in Vegas.
We couldn't announce it until everything was official here, so.
Yeah.
Let's go Golden Knights.
Yeah, it was after the last commercial, after that weird Penn & Teller skit on that show.
Yeah.
They brought us up on stage and...
You probably missed. They might have missed it. You might have missed it.
Probably.
We were there.
Heck, I even turned it off and we were on it. So.
We were on it in there, but somehow you turned it off. All right. Yeah. Makes sense.
Try to follow.
You heard another interesting podcast today, didn't you?
I did. I was at the gym and I text you. I haven't seen you in like weeks.
I know.
Like, seriously, we're
missing an action. Our schedules were working pretty well together, and recently they've been garbage.
Yeah. So I was at the gym today, and I just needed something to listen to because I'd watched the award show, so I was like pretty up to date on everything. So anything I would have backlogged, you know, I needed something very current.
And okay.
I stumbled upon one. I forget what it was. Something Madhouse, but it was like radio guys, and they were legit.
Yeah.
But it was so funny because like they honestly think the Blackhawks are like the worst team in the world.
Like they, nice, good.
They, as you might have heard, Marian Hossa is retiring.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, he has some kind of skin disorder or something that's preventing him
that's
from playing.
It's going to force him to retire.
It's a shame.
So they immediately went on the defense because some people are saying that this is very well timed for him to go on long-term IR because his contract, they only pay him like $1 million the last like 4 years, but his cap hit's like 5 or 6 or something like that.
Yeah.
So it's one of those, like, really would benefit the Hawks for that to happen.
Right.
However, Marian Hossa scored, like, 26 goals last year.
Yeah, he still was good.
Yeah, he's one of the best two-way players. He's one of my favorite players ever. I mean, not to get too sidetracked here, but, I mean, he is such a good, complete player. He's really fun to watch. But, so these guys go on the defense immediately saying, like, well, you know, the NHL's screwing us and, you know, because they might have to pay a cap recapture penalty or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, and they're like, well, we're not going to have money to replace him.
Well, you just said he's...
look at your team, first of all. You have three of the top 100 players of NHL history.
All time.
on your team. In Kane,
Goats.
Taze, and Duncan Keith. You also have Artemi Panarin, who's like could be the best player on most teams
right,
in the league.
Right.
And then the list goes on: Seabrook and Jamerson and Corey Crawford and all these guys that get make the Olympic teams and everything.
You're not getting any sympathy from us,
right? They were legitimately like, "Well, the Blackhawks aren't making the playoffs this year. That's it.
All right,
because the NHL is not going to let them pick up another superstar player."
Well, why would they let, like, why? You're not owed anything now.
I know.
It's not like the NHL took him from you. The guy has an issue.
Wah.
Just like you took our first overall pick. So.
Right. You know how this works out, though, is the NHL is, they love their Blackhawks. So
yeah.
They're going to make sure that, you know, this doesn't hurt them too bad. And if the Blackhawks are smart, that's a contract you could probably trade somewhere.
Yeah.
Like the Flyers did with Pronger.
Right.
You know, however that works. And I bet you they clear up enough money to get Ilya Kovalchuk.
Is that what you think it's gonna
be?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's just my gut feeling.
That'd be funny.
It seems like that's what would happen.
Yeah. He might be a good fit there for them.
Yeah. So I had to throw that out there. I was just
awesome.
I was cracking up. I mean, it was an entertaining podcast.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. They were good. But I was like, man, these guys are delusional. They do not know what they have.
Right. I mean, I know that they didn't win a game in the playoffs. I get it. That's frustrating, and it makes you think that your team's not any good. But
neither
you,
did, like, 14 other teams.
That's what I'm saying, but you made the playoffs, so right. That's pretty special. I mean, and then you lost, and I know it doesn't make it any better, but you lost to a team that went to the finals. So obviously it was a pretty good team that you lost to. It's not like you lost to Columbus in the first round.
Yeah. So that dynasty might be done.
The dynasty.
Or at least what some people call a dynasty, which brings me to a point. Are the Pittsburgh Penguins a dynasty, sir?
I don't want to say.
According to your rule, it had to be back-to-back championships.
Right, but that's only one part of my rule. my rule is several folds. My rule just changes depending on how I feel.
Yeah.
But you need to win three cups to be a dynasty.
Which they have.
Right. But it's got to, I think it has to be like closer than just a decade. Like it's got to be within like 5 years.
2009, right? It was the first one that they won.
Right. Was that what it was? Nine?
I believe so. Yeah. It was the year before the Flyers went, which was 2010. So.
So 7 years later, then you win a couple more. Like, and it's awesome.
3-8.
It's really impressive to win three cups in a decade's time.
Which the Blackhawks did 3-6.
Right.
So this is 3-8. It's a little more spread out.
Right.
But they have the
Blackhawks didn't have back-to-back.
Which is very hard to do.
Right. So that's impressive. But the word dynasty, there's, like, I think as Louis C.K. had said it, like, we use two grandiose words. Like, you can't say that something's
epic.
You can't say something's awesome. Yeah. Oh, it's awe-inspiring? It's awesome? Like, well, then what do you say for something like when you see the Grand Canyon? Like, you know, you can't use these words for anything. So for it to be a dynasty, you have to just dominate the league, I think, for a long enough span that's in a close enough span, if that makes sense. I think over, like, a five-year period, the league needs to be yours. That's it. And I can't say that about Pittsburgh. I can say that more about the Blackhawks than I can say that about Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I mean, to Pittsburgh's credit, I don't think they missed the playoffs at all during that span.
Yeah, I'm not sure that they did.
I think we would have been celebrating.
Yeah, probably.
I'll have to go back and check, but I do think that they did qualify for the playoffs every year, most years going past the first round. Dominant? No. I mean, they didn't win the President's Trophy or anything like that, so it's tough, but it's not a league where there's dominant teams anymore. It's
right,
parity.
Right.
So I think the further we go into this salary cap era, I think this is as close to a dynasty as you're going
to
get.
And I think that's fair to say, but I think we just need a lesser term. Dynasty to me, you know, Islanders or, you know, something where it's like crazy that they won so much so often in such a short span of time.
Yeah. Well, is the Islanders the last one? Because the one you could go back to then by your rule would be the Red Wings. They were the last team to win back-to-back championships, and that was 97 and 98, and then they were in it all those years, but they next won it in 2002. So 97, 98, then they didn't win 99, 2000, 2001. So it was 3-6, and it was back-to-backs in there.
Yeah.
So was that a dynasty? But, like, they weren't dominant because the Avalanche were so good. You know,
it's tough. You're right. It's absolutely tough. I just think that, to me, and I know that it's, but first of all, let me say, I know that I'm wrong because I know consensus is going to be that it's, yes, dynasties here since that time. And yeah, you know, I'm sure that Detroit would have called themselves that at that time. And I'm sure Pittsburgh's calling themselves that now. So yeah, I get that it's not a popular opinion, but just to me, I don't know. I just feel like that word needs to be reserved a little bit.
Yeah.
I feel like it's not as special. That's the old, if everyone's special, nobody is, you know? Like,
well, things were so much more clear-cut back in the day.
I mean,
the Canadians would rip off four Stanley Cups in a row, then the Islanders ripped off four Stanley Cups, and then Edmonton won 5 in 7 years or something like
that.
And, you know, it was pretty cut and dry who the best teams were. You know, Edmonton would have had another one in there if Steve Smith didn't fire it into his own net.
and really, you don't want dynasties. It's not fun when the same team wins consistently, you know?
Well, that's been an argument I've heard is, do you prefer how basketball is? Because, I mean, I don't. Because basketball, there's like four teams that can win it each year, and that's it.
Yeah.
Whereas you go into the Stanley Cup playoffs thinking probably about 13 or 14 out of the 16 teams could legitimately win.
Yeah, they got a good shot.
I mean, geez, is that Toronto Washington series went on, you started believing that the Maple Leafs could win the Stanley Cup because they were playing that well. But at basketball, you just don't have that. But what you do get in basketball is you usually get a better finals because it's super team against super team.
Yeah.
And it's that's entertaining. Whereas this was a fun finals, but it wasn't that good.
Yeah.
Like the side stories were more fun than the actual games.
It was still entertaining. I liked it, but it wasn't. It hurts that it's one of the teams that I hate the most. So it's. That takes a little bit away from it from my perspective. But
see, I think it added to it. If it would have been Ottawa and Nashville, I don't care.
Like, yeah,
I would have watched it because that's what I do. My life is watching hockey.
Yeah,
but this was more fun. There was a rooting interest.
Yeah, I guess that's true too. I didn't think of it in that way. I don't know.
So, well, we got Vegas to root for now because that's our
podcast.
That's our employer now.
I hope that they hear this and then they offer us, because I'll go live in Vegas. That's fine with me.
Well, we're going to try to go out there.
Yeah, that's not a try, man. It's happening. We try too many things. This has got to happen.
Yeah, which, of course, the schedules came out and the Flyers are going to play out there in February, and then what, they host them in March?
Yeah, like almost exactly. I think it's right around the same date, around the 11th or 12th time frame in March they play here. But yeah, so February 11th, if anybody else is planning on a trip to Vegas to go, let us know. That's pretty cool. That's why I'm going.
I had tweeted out today, I'm like, I can't wait until we find out when Vegas is playing the Flyers so we can find out when Pierre-Edward Belmar scores his first goal.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true, too. I didn't think of that.
You know that's going to happen.
Yeah, sure. We'll
it's
see.
Like
it. We'll see.
Ryan White scored on the Flyers last year. Like a beautiful goal, too.
It's
like,
always, I don't know. That's the MO of ex-Flyers is that you're now the Flyers killer somehow. I don't know.
Yeah. So should we get into that? I mean, are you surprised that it was Belmar taken?
I'm not totally surprised. I thought that they would have taken someone like Raffle over Belmar.
Yeah, that's who I thought they were taking.
But I mean, I still think Belmar is a good player. Not like a good player, but like a good role player, I think. He seems like a good guy.
But as you had tweeted to me, they got a team full of Belmars.
Like, yeah, exactly. That's the problem.
Is what are you doing?
I said he should be a great fit because they have the whole team full of Belmars.
They put out their depth chart, or somebody put out a depth chart of Vegas's players. This is before a couple trades today. But Belmar was listed as their sixth center.
He's consistently listed as like one of their he's listed as their sixth center.
Yeah.
He's consistently listed as like one of the first players' names you see. Everywhere that you see the rosters coming up. And I don't think it's just because it's a B, because I've seen other I've seen other names after him. I think it's because he's one of the more recognizable names.
I mean, you figure Fleury's the big name.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
And then,
yeah.
Like, James Neal was a big name.
Yep.
But after that,
they got Carlson. But it's
William one.
William Carlson, spelled the same way.
Yeah.
I mean, Grabowski, David Clarkson.
Yeah, they weren't even guys they drafted. They were just guys they got in trades.
But yeah, I mean, I'm just looking at their actually on Vegas' site now. I mean, some of these guys don't even have profile pictures. Like Gusev, Hajka, like these guys are Shapakyov.
Well, he was the guy that they signed ahead of time.
Yeah.
From the, I guess, the KHL. I mean, like Cody Eakin's a name.
Yeah.
They got a couple defensemen.
Marchessault.
You know what? That was the surprise for me that they got him, and then they got Riley, too, as, like, a throw-in for some reason. Like, I don't think the Panthers understood how this worked. They were like,
guys, you just did this not too long ago. Like, you should have an understanding.
Yeah. They're like, well, we're going to take your 30-goal score. Okay, but you got to take this guy that also scores 20.
Like, all right.
And then I thought, like, they got a draft pick out of it, too, or something. But then maybe I heard it was the draft pick was going the other way. There was just so much, like, flying back and forth that I didn't really get the follow up on it.
My favorite is the Islanders had given up several picks, like their first round pick this year and something, like a second round pick or something, just so that Edmonton wouldn't take the players they didn't want them to take.
Yeah, and then they protected five defensemen. And three forwards. Like, the Islanders are so bad that they have three forwards worth protecting.
Right. So, and they still had other people that they wanted to not. I don't know. Like, the team is not that good, so I don't know why they're super concerned with giving up a first round. You need that first round pick. If you know your team's not that good, you need. I know that it's not very deep this year, but
you do these years. The Flyers went without it for when before there was a salary cap and everything. They would just get rid of their first round pick all the time, and it now it's more important than ever. But there was a lot of names. I gotta bring up their
actual roster. Yeah, just going down. I mean, I had named a couple of those. Brickley, Carrier, Clarkson, Duke was somebody that they signed. Eakin, who you say Grabowski, they traded. Gusev, Hola.
Do you know Vegas is only like one, or they're $3 million under the cap?
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
The Flyers are $12 million under the cap.
They're in better shape than Vegas. Oh, they got Lucas Spezza. That's right.
Like, I don't know, man.
Mark Mathot.
Some of these guys they drafted, like Chris Thornburn from Winnipeg, like he's an unrestricted free agent. Like he doesn't have to sign.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Same with the guy that they did get from the Islanders, the goalie, Jean-Francis Berube.
It's probably Francois.
Yeah, it is. I'm sorry.
it's I don't know. Looking at the roster, there are some names, Reinhardt, you know, Mathot, like I just said, England. Emelin, there's definitely some names that you've heard, but nobody we weren't expecting that. You know, you're not expecting them to drive some amazing team, but it's just, some of it is just, to me, a little questionable, because exactly that. I mean, someone that we know very well, like you said, is Belmar, and that's, you had an opportunity to take somebody that actually can produce a little bit more from the Flyers, and you decided to go against that for whatever reason.
Yeah, I don't get their strategy, like, there were two strategies you could do, and one's like, you know, get the best team possible, or two, to stockpile draft picks and kind of take on some bad contracts. And they seem like they kind of did both. Like, it's not really clear which direction they did here. And it's a little confusing.
Well, my favorite was, I was reading I forget who it was, a quote from somebody from Vegas, from the front office. I don't know if it was McPhee or whoever it was. But, just said they had asked him about the draft, and he said, "Yeah, I'm pretty happy with most of the guys we got." And I was like, "Wait a minute, you're supposed to be their biggest fan right now. You can't be pretty happy with the guys you got. You should be ecstatic with all of the players that you just drafted."
They have 10 defensemen right now on their payroll, and only one of them has a contract past this coming season.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Mark Mathot is signed for the next 2 years.
Yeah.
Other than that, who's a good player, too, and I figure they might try to keep, but, like, all these guys might be gone next year. Like, I don't know if they're going to re-sign, especially if they get their butts kicked up and down the ice.
Yeah. I mean, and you have to assume that there's going to be a lot of turnover right now. So, and it's, you know what, the one thing that they're doing right is that they have a ton of draft picks that they've acquired. So, I think they might be even seeing it that way as well. Like, all right, we might kind of stink this year. Chances are we are. They're Vegas. They know the odds. And looking towards the future, just they stocked a lot of draft picks already. So, yeah, take our lumps this season, and then next season maybe they'll get the first overall pick next season, hopefully for them, and compile that with a lot of draft picks that they've gotten between this year and next year already for these players that they've told teams that they wouldn't take or whatever. So, I don't know. They could be set up. Right now it's tough to see. It's always a little tough to see the forest for the trees, though.
I'm trying to see why they took Jason Garrison from Tampa Bay. Like, they didn't get a first rounder. Maybe they got a second? I'm trying to figure out. Because, like, there were some good players on Tampa Bay they could have taken, and they took a 32-year-old defenseman who makes $4.6 million and stinks. That's the Andrew McDonald that, like, I want to know what the Flyers would have had to give up for them to take Andrew McDonald, because that's a similar thing. Only Garrison's in his last year, where McDonald would have been two more years after this one.
I think it's funny, though, that Vegas was allowed to just accept bribes to not take. Like, that's pretty awesome.
They didn't even, like, try to hide it either.
No,
and they get a third-round pick just because.
just because they're accepting donations, and you want to keep them happy right now.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah, it was kind of an entertaining trade. I kind of like how they did it, how they had the GM and the president or somebody up there. And they kind of talked about, like, why they were taking these guys. And then, of course, they skipped over at one point and they were like, and from Detroit. Like, he's like, from Dallas, we take Cody Eakin. They're like, we weren't ready for that. And he's like, just kidding. So, yeah, it was pretty funny. It was...
Yeah, it was a
very awkward show, but it was kind of...
Well, it's just like their unveil of their logo was super awkward, so yeah. Well, let's just keep it going for Vegas.
Well, now we got to get into it. What do you think of the Vegas jerseys?
Initial impression was good. I liked it. I wanted to sleep on it. When I saw some more high-quality pictures, I noticed that the gold has some kind of frillies going on in it, has some kind of texture to it.
Oh, yeah?
The gold on the sleeves. Yeah, if you get like an up-close picture, I'll bring it up, actually. I think I see the picture on my phone because I meant to show you.
Hmm.
But, yeah, the sleeves, I saw like an HD kind of picture up close, and the sleeves have some kind of like little frilly design going on the gold, if you can see that there.
Oh, yeah, I do see it.
It's I mean,
they got something on the shield, too.
Yeah, they got some kind of dots are going on. I don't know. They changed that logo. Oh, yeah, you mean in the gray area. I didn't notice that before.
Like the negative space or whatever it looks like.
Yeah, it's kind of neat. Adds a little pizzazz, I guess. It's a little different. I don't know. It's the problem is I, from the beginning, haven't been in love with the logo. It's not a bad logo, but I'm not in love with it. So
it's a good first try.
Yeah.
But you got to figure they're going to come up with something better soon.
I like their shoulder patch much better than I like their actual logo. So if they made the shoulder patch the like an alternate jersey or something, which teams next year will start having alternate jerseys, so, you know, the following season.
Right.
The 18-19 season. So maybe we'll see something like that. But yeah, as exactly you said, a very good first try.
If they got rid of the red stripe on the sleeves, I don't like it.
I didn't like it. I agreed with you because you said you were trying to cover it up with your finger when you first saw it. I didn't like it until I saw the players wearing it on stage. Really? When it's on an actual human body, it's not so bad. It's not great still, but it's at least a little better. I forget the reason he won it red in the jersey. He won it red in somewhere.
Yeah, it's not a good compliment to the other colors there.
Yeah, it's a little out there. It almost looks like those jerseys were tagged to be on sale or something.
Yeah, and they're gonna wear like white gloves or I'm hoping gold gloves. I think gold gloves would look like knights if they had gold gloves.
Yeah, pretty cool. Now they did show the mannequin that was like holding a stick and all. He has with that the home jersey, does white gloves.
Hmm.
So, not my favorite choice in glove colors for that. You know, with their scheme, I like that they didn't just go black. They went with that like really weird gray, almost like a steel kind of gray.
Yeah, I kind of like the gray.
Yeah, I like that too.
It's different.
Yeah, and it's just, you're right, with that red trim, maybe if it was just, I wouldn't want it to be no band there, maybe just back to the gray there, so something to break it up so it still has that stripe, but just not red.
Mm.
But yeah, overall, I think pretty solid jerseys. They're not terrible, they're not great, they need some work, but for the first jerseys, I think we'll look back and we're not going to look at it as like the Coyotes jerseys.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to have to get one.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have every other team, so I feel this weird like void that I just don't
Something's
have them.
Something's missing right
now. Yeah,
I know.
Although I did land a Minnesota North Stars jersey not too long ago.
Yeah, yeah, you showed me a picture of that. That's pretty
sweet.
It was
a good find, man. It was like $26, and it's in great shape.
That's awesome. I want to get one of the new Minnesota jerseys. Those new green ones are really nice with that green like band in the middle of it. And you know what I really like about that band is that it doesn't continue on the back. I don't know if you've seen the back.
No, I didn't.
I actually really like it because it keeps the back clean with the numbers. It might have been a little messy with the numbers and all. Because the numbers wouldn't have been centered on that stripe like it is on the front with the logo.
Okay. So, yeah, I get what you're saying.
I feel like people don't think about this as much as we do.
There weren't too many changes. I mean, what do you think of the new Flyers jerseys?
Oh, man, got to get one. it's cool, though. I mean, I like these jerseys. I didn't want to see them do anything crazy.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to make a change, like it sucks when you just make this tiny little change.
Yeah.
Because then people do feel like they have to go out and get the newest thing.
Then it feels like a money grab. So at least they didn't do that. I would have really liked to have seen a season of using the previous alternates, that Winter Classic one, the orange Winter Classic jersey from a couple years ago.
Yeah.
That they were using as an alternate 2 years ago before they had this gold BS going on last season.
Yeah, they still wear those. Well, they did last year. They won't this year.
Right, right. I would have loved to have seen them just, hey, for a season or two, use those as your home and then make a cream color of that as you're away. Why not? Just as a different, something different for it, you know? And that's the cool thing about these Flyers, the Flyers Classic jerseys, is that they're so cool and simple that they look modern also. So you can always go back to those. There's no stopping you.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I guess I'll be excited for an alternate again.
Yeah, it looked like the big change was the Devils. They got rid of the stripe down at the bottom waist.
That's kind of nice.
Yeah.
A little more clean.
The Nashville jerseys I like, too. They clean them up a little bit, too.
Seemed to be a theme across a lot of the jerseys, was just making it a little more simple. I don't like the Edmonton jerseys at all.
No, I don't either.
You know what? I liked the orange jerseys that they had as an alternate, and I liked them last season. The stripes at the bottom suck. They're terrible.
I didn't get a real close look at it, but I just know I didn't like it.
Yeah.
But I already didn't like the orange ones they were wearing. I'm still upset that they went to orange as their primary color.
The stripes that you don't have one in. Do you have a...
No,
you don't have
an Edmonton jersey down here.
The stripes at the bottom were thicker before, and they were all conjoined. So it was like three stripes. I think it was like blue in the middle with white on either edge, if I'm remembering correctly. Mm. Now they're real spread out and they're thin stripes. There's three stripes, but they're real, like, they're wide. Those stripes aren't wide. The stripes are thinner, but they're spaced apart a lot. And it's like white and blue, but the blue is such a dark blue that it almost looks black. Mm. It's just weird looking. I don't like it at all.
Yeah, the one little change I liked was Carolina. It looks like they went back to the little hurricane flags at the bottom of their jersey.
You know what? I think that they have that. It's basically that jersey, but I don't think it has the hurricane flags.
Oh, really?
I thought that's what I saw for some reason.
Because I was all happy that they were going back to that, because I was mad they got rid of it. It was one of those neat little things that no one really realizes they're hurricane flags at the bottom.
NHL New Jerseys. It's so tough to type that without getting stupid Devils.
I know, but I mean, for the most part, most of the teams didn't change much. So
yeah,
it's good. I mean, and then we'll go back to third jerseys the following season, which, like, I don't know. I guess that's the end of the Minnesota, like, where it just had the Minnesota written across it, which you really liked.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully just for right now, but
they're kind of similar to the ones that they're going to. Yeah. So
look at that. I don't think it's. I think it's just. I think it's just shadows. I think they got rid of the hurricane flags. It's the same. It's like the exact same design, but just minus the flags.
Yeah, because they had gone to just like more of a white and red type of thing. They kind of got rid of the black for a while.
Just because when I saw that was the first thing I looked at. I was like, oh, man, they got rid of the flag, because the flags were kind of cool. It was different, but yeah.
We need to do like a fashion show on one of these.
Yeah,
podcasts.
I'll make some real some real cheesy feminine music. And we'll just, I don't even know how that would work as an audio podcast. Just
I don't know either.
Like, what are we going to be doing? We could pretty much have someone model each of the jerseys that you have, I guess. But
so, I didn't even see, what did Calgary go with? Did they go back to the, like, 80s style?
Calgary is the black flame again.
It's
the black flame.
Yeah, I don't like that one.
Yeah, here it is for you.
Nah. I thought they were going back to the 80s style.
I mean, I don't know about you, but I've never in my whole life seen a flame be black. It can be a lot of different colors. I've never seen a black flame though. So, and look at right next to us, that Oilers
situation
going on. It's like they want to be Flyers. So just cut it out, Edmonton.
Don't we all? So should we talk some Flyers?
Yeah, whatever.
I mean, we did talk about Belmar a little bit.
Belly. Yeah, but a couple other player,
news.
Cousins
gone.
Out of here.
Yeah,
I heard some people upset.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of those blue collar, grinder, works hard but not the most skilled type of guy. And to be honest, the limited time that I had in the Flyers locker room this season, he was very nice to me. Always seemed to say something, polite and high, and complain that he wasn't getting nobody was talking to him.
All right,
but will they miss him? He basically replaced like Ryan White the year before, and they'll have a new guy that'll do that same
thing. We've talked about that before.
It's just that role. It's is what it is.
That like kind of agitator a little bit. He was one of the better agitators that Flyers have had recently, because he didn't really ever get in much trouble.
No, he's good at drawing penalties too. Yeah. So I mean, he'll be missed a little bit. I mean, people seem to be freaking out about Belmar.
But you know what? I've seen some people say, like, good riddance, that they thought he was a bad player. I don't know.
I'm in between. He was a good penalty killer. He was a character guy and everything. But the NHL's changing. Like, he would have been perfect, 7-8 years ago or so. But now you need speed on your fourth line. You need all these guys to be able to contribute. And he just, I saw a stat that he was like 261st ranked in 5-on-5 points per like 60 minutes or something. Yeah. Like, you need something out of these guys.
You're talking about players that replace the role of other players like Cousins and White. Belmar is Max Talbot. That's what you got out of Max Talbot, pretty much. Max Talbot actually did have that season where he put in a few goals, but...
I mean, Belmar was so good that they were basically moving him to the wing because they had better guys. So,
right.
Take that for what it's worth.
Yeah. So
they will miss him on the penalty kill, sure, but the penalty kill wasn't very good anyway last year. So I don't know who's going to kill these things because they lost Vandevelde, they lost Belmar.
Well, because they're sure as hell not taking less. that's not their MO. So
yeah,
I don't know. But I don't know. Between Belmar and Cousins, not totally upset. I mean, they're those bottom six type players where it's like, well, they're kind of interchangeable. You're going to find new ones and somebody will step up in that role and it'll be fine. So maybe we'll get Gordon back. Ghost.
Yeah, it's been a while. We haven't had a podcast, so we got to catch up on this a little bit too. Ghost gets 6 years, $4.5 million. Your thoughts, sir?
I like it. The end.
The term was a little more than I thought. I thought they were going to go for about 4 or 5 years, but hey, everybody wants a 6-year deal, so why not? But honestly, when I had this deal in my head, I thought he was getting around $5 million. So
I was nervous, and I actually had, I actually was talking with Tristan, who often comments on here. We were concerned that those numbers would be reversed, that it would be 4 years for somewhere pushing six.
Yeah.
You know, so really I'm happy with that because this could be a Wayne Simmonds type situation where Ghost could show up and he had a little bit of a rough sophomore season at times. I think he started to really get it going towards the end of the season. So he could turn into a Simmonds type situation where you end up with an overachieving player for what his salary cap hit is in the fourth through sixth year of the contract.
He's not as good as his rookie year, and he's not as bad as his sophomore year. There's some face painting going
Will
on.
Will Ferrell on this TV singing as a tiger.
So he's somewhere in between those two seasons, and you know what? He's still your top power play guy. Even if Provorov, I think, might be the better guy eventually, but I mean, even if he's a power play specialist, he's your top power play guy on a team that goes 4 forwards and 1 defenseman. So that's a pretty good payday for, I mean, it's what guys get paid to do that job.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes more than that. So I'm okay with it. He's 24 now. It's 6 years, makes him 30 by the end of it.
Yeah, you know, that's fine to me.
You got to figure at 4.5, you hope that you get more value than that for the first half of the contract, and you hope to kind of maintain it by the end. Yeah. So I think you could get that. Now, the 10 points per whatever your formula
10
is.
10 points per million.
That doesn't really work with the defense.
That applies to forwards.
That's forwards, yeah. So we're not expecting 45-point seasons all the way through.
No.
It'd be nice. And he can do it, certainly.
I would more so be happy with like 30, 35.
Yeah, I mean, I think he could be a 40-point guy.
Sure, yeah.
Steadily. Yeah. I don't even know what he was last year. I bet you he was probably close to it, even what was considered a down year.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he had, what, like 16 goals alone, I think, his first season. Yeah. So he was
the goals were down,
yeah.
But
yeah.
I think the points were still half decent.
Yeah, I think he was pretty steady with points for the most part. I don't think he ever had like a real big drought with points.
He had 39 points last year.
Ah, there you go.
In 76 games because he wasn't allowed to play a few of those.
Well, not only was he not allowed to play, but if you remember, he had that talk where he basically said, like, I just decided I was going to have fun again and play like I wanted to play. Yeah. And he said, regardless of if I got in trouble. So, obviously, they were telling him to do something different at the beginning of the season because he decided at the end of the season to do whatever he was doing, and it started to work again. So,
yeah. So, It's kind of interesting now because the pieces are starting to fall in place. So we know what Gostis Bear is going to be paid, and we know that they still have to sign Jordan Wheel, and it does sound like they will sign him. At least I'm hearing.
It sounds like that they were something was in the works. I don't know, but that's good.
It sounds like Hextall was playing this smart, where if you sign Wheel ahead of the expansion draft, then you have to protect them.
Yeah.
Waste a spot on them or whatever, and then you would have had to expose, I don't know who the next guy would have been.
Yeah, I'm not sure who the also.
I guess Lawton was the kind of the surprise guy.
That's right, he snuck in there.
Yeah,
I'm definitely surprised that they protected him.
Yeah,
I don't think his parents want to protect him.
So I mean, he, I don't know. So they, by Hextall doing that, you know, he basically protected him, and now you expect the deal be announced sometime soon.
Yeah,
because Vegas had. They could have negotiated with him, but it doesn't mean anything. It could have been a waste to Vegas if they do pick him and then he doesn't sign, then they get nothing for him.
I heard the term handshake deal was in place with Wheel. So yeah. So they might have, which actually obviously doesn't mean anything other than right. just respect. So really, yeah, if Vegas would have came in and wowed him, I guess they could have taken him. But I don't know. I guess it didn't work. I guess it didn't happen for them.
Yeah, I mean, and the tough thing is there's such a small sample size on him that, like, what does he get paid? And is this just a bridge deal or something like that? But the Flyers right now, before signing him, have $12 million in cap space. And they got to sign...
Pow.
Yeah, they got to sign Vecchione and Wheel. We figure they're not re-signing Vandeveli and Lubimov. You got to fill a couple spots, I guess, because that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 guys under contract. Then Vecchione will make 12, so probably another forward entry-level guy like Lindblom. And then you got 5 defensemen under contract, so a couple entry levels there. And then you got a lot of money to spend on a goalie.
Yeah, which is our next topic we wanted to get into anyway. So, yeah, I mean, what happens there? It's something that we've been asking forever, and we took 2 weeks off to really think about it. And we still have zero answers after running the lab.
Yeah, well, I mean, Michael Neuwirth is, we know he has not been taken by Vegas, so he's signed for the next 2 years at $2.5 million, which is a strange contract because that's not starter money and it's not backup money.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's according to Flyers, it's backup money because they've had some little bit more pricey backups in recent history for what they were. But, yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't know what the hell that means for any of this. We know that the goalie market is still is shrinking. Calgary gets Smith, so that's not happening. I guess they have to figure out what they're doing with their spare goaltender now.
Well, Arizona needs a goalie now, too, I guess.
Hurricanes have an extra goalie still.
They got a few.
Yeah.
Because they got Darling and Ward, and they got Eddie Lack. Yep. So somebody's available there. They actually have to get rid of a goalie. Dallas has to get rid of a goalie.
Yeah. I mean, looking around the league, there's not really much space for... I mean, I know you had texted me and said, you know, Mason to Arizona, possibly? I don't know. Maybe. there's not a lot going on out there, but you still have Ryan Miller, and you still have... Elliot that's out there. So, I mean, you still do have a couple goaltenders that I guess could make their way to the Flyers. I just can't see that it's going to be Stolarz and Neuwirth.
Yeah.
I just can't see either.
I don't either. I mean, Dallas has Lettinen, Bishop, and Niemi all under contract. Lettinen and Niemi both on the last year of their contract. You got to figure if they can't get anybody to take one of them, they have to buy one out, right?
Yeah,
I mean, you just can't have three goalies making that much money. Lettinen makes $5.9 million.
I can't believe he makes that much money.
Yeah. Niemi makes 4.5. And then Bishop now is making just a little bit south of 5. But he's signed for 6 years, so he's their guy. I don't know. Boy, they got a lot of unsigned players on Dallas. They got some weird stuff going on there.
I don't know. They have a good in-arena... whatever you want to call them, video board guy. So that's what they got going for them.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. It's way up in the air still. I would love to hear any kind of even just rumor of something that would give some kind of resolution to this. It's just tough not knowing anything about it at all.
I'm actually surprised that Vegas didn't take Philip Grubauer from Washington, the very good backup. But as I'm looking, he's not under contract yet, so maybe that was...
Yeah, maybe.
If he didn't want to play there, then he wasn't going
to
play there.
Right. And they got to talk to them already, right? So they basically could have said, like, hey, if we pick you, are you going to sign? He's probably like, yeah, get out of here.
Man, the Capitals don't have a first, second, or third round pick.
Yeah.
They could take the first couple days off of this draft. It
feels like it's about to be a downward spiral for that team.
I don't know, I guess. That's for another... I think we already spent an episode talking about them.
Yeah, but. I think so. But I don't know. Yeah, so goaltending, I don't know. Still up in the air. There's no answers there. We're still waiting to see what's going to shake down. And I just don't know.
Is there anybody you particularly want? I just don't.
Steve Mason.
I mean, he's... He's
technically
still out
not
there.
Off the table.
Yeah, it sure sounds like it.
Yeah, I know.
I think there was some damage done with some of his comments. That seems to be what...
Yeah.
I mean, he's... I don't take it as, like, vicious comments, because I've been in there. So I know what I've heard with my own two ears, that some of the stuff, you know, can be taken out of context sometimes. But he seems to just speak honestly, and it doesn't seem like he's doing anything to throw anybody under a bus. It's just he's being honest and saying, you know, we didn't play hard enough. That's why we didn't win.
Yeah.
Like, there's only so many times during a losing season that a goalie can say, yeah, it's my fault.
right.
We lost, you know, 2-1, and, you know.
And he did still do that, though. He did step up and say, hey, this was on me.
He did for a while, and then it wears on you, man. Yeah. You can't just keep saying it over and over again.
As a goalie, I thought that it was a known thing that whenever we say, ah, man, we really didn't do this today, we're saying we because we're being polite. Because obviously I wasn't not skating hard today. Like, you know, I don't have an opportunity to skate, so... So if I'm like, yeah, we really didn't crash the net. We didn't really skate hard. We really didn't get back to the point. Like, and I thought it was assumed that you're just being polite. So when he's saying those things, any goalie says that, like, you know.
Because usually if a goalie's getting interviewed after a loss, it's because he played well. They usually don't hunt the guy down if he let up six and got pulled.
What happened? What happened today?
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, how many times can you just continue to say, like, oh, you know. It's on me. I got to make that save. That one goal that got by me tonight.
We lost 1-0. I can't believe I did that to the team. Like, well, I don't know. The poor guy. I like, you know, I've always been a big fan. He's the third winningest goalie ever in Flyers history. So, dude's definitely a turd. So, I don't know what to tell everyone. But, yeah, I guess he's not coming back. I don't know. I mean...
I don't know.
Do you want an Elliott or a Miller to take his place for that's going to suck up the rest of that beautiful looking cap space number right now? You know,
it's this like 1 or 2 year stopgap that they're looking at.
You got
the goalies coming. We don't know exactly who it's going to be, but they got enough decent prospects.
Not
down
Madsen,
there.
By the way.
Yeah, they traded
him. What the hell happened there? Why did he? That's what I was most mad. I don't know why I forgot about that with the Cousins.
That was
thing.
The Cousins trade.
That was the thing I was most aggravated with, because I saw that as an afterthought. That was everyone was talking about Cousins, and then someone had posted like, oh, and also, you know, Madsen had gone as well. I'm like, what the hell? That's the guy that had value. Why did we trade him? He was, you know, won, I think, an award of some, or was a finalist or something for some kind of goaltending award and played well, and I don't know.
I still think he was, like, maybe fourth or fifth in their depth chart.
Yeah, there's plenty of, for the, yeah. But you got to get something, I think.
Yeah, that was kind of like, hey, here's Nick Cousins. Oh, you know what? Take our prospect, too. Like,
why did that happen?
Like, maybe they needed to get rid of Cousins that badly because they need the room on the team.
I mean, they have a lot of players. Yeah, a lot of times when you see that, it is exactly like you said. Like, hey, will you take this guy? And they're like, we'll take him, but you got to give us something else, too. Like, so, because the Flyers got some nobody that's like, I don't know, scored 4 goals in his life or something. So,
it's kind of neat, though. Like, your fourth line now, though, like, they wiped that clean, right? Like, none of those guys are around anymore. Right. So, your fourth line is looking like, I don't know, Vecchione and Raffle and Weiss, maybe, or something like that, or Matt Reed, or... some combination of those four guys.
Dale.
Like, that's not horrible for a fourth line.
Yeah. You know what? Looking at the Flyers team on paper, like, it's starting to come around a little bit. I mean, I know the goaltending's a hole, but it's not great, but it's starting to get a little more solidified, I think. And once we get, once Lindblom's in there as well, I think that's gonna help as well.
You still got a lot of unknowns with the defense. Because you're going to probably have 2 new guys in the lineup.
Yeah.
But, hey, you do have, you know, Provorov is just solid. Gudas, very good. And you're hoping Ghost, you know, is returns to the better Ghost that we saw.
Yeah.
And you hope Andrew McDonald can be a serviceable player. And then you got a couple young guys, so it's not too bad.
Yeah.
And then, as we just said, the forward's starting to shape up a little bit.
And there could be
the goaltending situation is just really
bad. It's brutal. You know what? And if you were able to, and that's almost a reason why I wouldn't mind an Elliott or a Miller for the 2 years, because you know that they're pretty good goaltenders. I can't imagine they're going to demand much money, so I wouldn't be too upset with that.
Yeah, I mean,
it's Miller, not ideal, but
Miller's old, so
yeah. What is he? Is he 39, 38, something like that?
He's, I don't know, late 30s somewhere. But so I don't think you want to go more than 1 year with him. But I mean, a guy like Elliott. Again, I don't know if that's the answer, but
yeah, you're not in love with it, but you got to make do right now.
Yeah, and you actually could sign somebody for like 3 years, because Neuwirth, his contract's done in two, and you figure that third year one of the new guys maybe takes over or something,
yeah,
and then
yeah.
You're just paying an entry level contract at that point anyway, which isn't a lot. So you can afford to kind of pay that guy a third year to be like an overpaid backup.
But yeah.
I just don't. I'm not in love with any of
but
the guys
who,
out
yeah.
there.
Yeah. Yeah, it would have been super cool if the Flyers could have worked a deal with Vegas to get Fleury. That would have been amazing. But
well, Carey Price is an unrestricted free agent next year.
Yeah,
gonna have to pay a lot of money for it. But
yeah.
He might be available.
I don't know.
I think July 1st is when the teams that have players with 1 year left on their contract can start. Extending them.
Okay.
So we will see. I'm sure Montreal, who has been making some interesting moves lately.
Yeah. Yeah.
Will have some decisions to make.
Definitely. The Flyers also, we didn't really mention too much. Obviously we know we'll be adding another forward, in the draft on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Most likely. We're assuming that they're going to pick either Nico or Nolan.
Yeah, well, there was a lot of speculation that the Flyers were going to trade down. Like, there was talks that Vegas was going to offer some draft picks to move up to number two. But I was reading something by Dave Isaac in the Courier-Post, and it sounded like he had a good conversation with Hextall, and Hextall was just like, a lot of this is just overblown.
Yeah.
Like, we plan on making the pick unless somebody really
blows us away.
Yeah, yeah. Like, knocks our socks off with an offer. So, yeah, it seems like they're going to get one of those two guys. And do you have a preference yet of who?
No. I know before, probably about a month ago, when you and I had talked about it, you were on the Patrick side and I was more on the Nico side.
Yeah.
But since then, I know I haven't changed. I would have still preferred getting Heischer. However, it looks like the Flyers, if a lot of the mock drafts that are going on, looks like it might be Patrick that they get.
I don't know. There's a lot of misdirection going on.
Yeah.
I read something the other day that the Devils are going to take a defenseman.
I know.
They're going to trade out
of
it or something.
If you're going to take a defenseman, you better trade down.
Yeah, I think so too.
You better try to trade down a third or something.
Yeah, I was going to say, ideally would be to, you know, if Dallas feels really good about one guy over the other, then, you know, you make the trade with them. So you only go down to third, you're definitely getting that defenseman that you want. But
or the Flyers pick another defenseman.
Just to screw them.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it sounds exciting. Nolan Patrick did have a couple injuries or whatever. You're going to hear about that for his whole career probably. But that happens. People tend to get injured sometimes. So
yeah.
But it seems like an awesome player, and it seems like he can make some room for himself. So
I just like the fact that he's big. I think it fits the Flyers better because Drew is kind of undersized.
Yeah.
So I think having a Patrick there is a little bit better than having a 170-pound center
as your
second guy behind Giroux.
And in that regard, it sounds like if you ask me who would be more ready to jump on a roster this coming season would be
Patrick
because he's got a bigger frame.
And he's well-rested.
He's well-rested. So yeah, I mean, I'm excited either way. It sounds like the Flyers are, I'm going to say, 95% sure to get one of these top two picks, unless, like we said, something crazy happens and somebody offers something awesome. But, I mean, it would be Hextall's MO to just stick with it because he's been working towards building all of this through draft. And as luck would have it, he gets rewarded for doing that by getting one of the better choices here. So,
yeah,
I'm excited. It's going to be cool. I'm just hoping that for the first time in forever, the Flyers get to pick somebody who immediately enters the roster. That would be cool to me.
Yeah, that hasn't happened in a long time.
Yeah.
Because I remember, yeah, well, obviously, Provorov, he stayed down a year along with Konechny. Couturier might have came right in.
Yeah, because he was 18 when he started playing for the Flyers. Yeah. So
I was going to say, even Van Riemsdyk, we had to wait because he went back to college.
Yeah, it's sissy.
I don't know. Because that's what sissies do.
Way to learn.
Your book's nerd.
He was just rubbing it in just because, you know, why not? The Flyers didn't get that first pick. So he would have had to play for terrible Blackhawks. So
right.
He lucked out. He just got to lose to them.
And then they drafted his brother.
Yep. Trade it.
And then they traded him. Yeah. Or they left him unprotected, and then he just got traded again.
Yeah, so yeah, that's right.
He's no longer a Vegas Golden Knight.
Yeah, he was briefly. He probably didn't even get a cool jersey.
No, so probably not.
They should still make him one.
Because that's what I was wondering as I was watching the expansion draft was all the guys came out with a 17, and it just said Golden Knights on the back.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, they can't give them like their own number. But I was like, well, I guess no one has numbers because some guys could want the same number as the other guy. And you got to sort all that stuff out. And
right. They probably didn't call everybody asking about their numbers.
Yeah. Some of these guys aren't even going to be there by the time.
They might not have even gotten a phone call that they were on the Knights.
Right.
So the Golden Knights. I want to shorten it on them. I know it's important. anyways, just like loss is important to them.
Right.
Let's look at Facebook right quick. We did get a couple comments on here today. I'm sure people are excited that we're actually having a podcast. Sorry about the delay.
Hope you remembered us.
We really didn't apologize. We were just kind of arrogant about it. But we did try to. We made several attempts. It's just not working right now.
It was classic misdirection by saying we were claimed in the expansion draft.
Yeah, we wanted to seem cool. That we are not. All right. So, of course, just asking about, you know, there's a lot going on in the NHL. So we don't have to see what that's on everybody's minds. Everyone did forget about us. We have two comments. So everyone's done. It is a Thursday night. People aren't expecting this. This is out of the blue.
This is true.
I'm hoping maybe a Sunday night you're busy. So, right?
I'm at a wedding. So it depends if you want half-tanked Mark on a podcast.
So Sunday night we'll do a podcast.
All right.
We'll try to do a podcast. I can't promise anything, but hopefully that happens. So it's going to be a couple in quick succession here, but at least we'll have the draft, obviously, to dissect, so which I'm not going to really get to watch on Friday because I'll be working. Anyways, so yeah, just about this week's NHL happenings, Bradford Hunter Reardon says, this is a great rumor that he said he saw. He said, there was a rumor going around that the Flyers potentially would trade the second pick. I'm guessing he means second overall pick.
Right.
And McDonald to Vegas for 3 first-round picks from this year's draft. And he said, like a lot of rumors this time of the year, I don't think there is much validity to it. Personally, I wouldn't do it, but it's intriguing. Thoughts? So you're trading McDonald and the second overall pick for Vegas's 3 firsts.
Right, which is like the 6th overall pick. And
yeah,
then
like 14th or something.
Who do they have? They have, what, the Islanders and somebody else?
I feel like possibly Columbus's?
Winnipeg's.
Winnipeg's, all right.
I don't know where Winnipeg picks. Actually,
I think it was in the early teens.
It's like 13, maybe.
The first teen.
The 13, I said.
The first teen.
Oh, yeah.
The first of all the teens.
Yeah. I'm following. somewhere around there, I think. It's either like 12 or 13 or something like that, because they were not a playoff team, and the Islanders were not either, but they had a little bit better record. I want to say that's like 15th or 16th or something like that.
Yeah.
So really, that's a lot to give up to move up 4 spots.
Yeah.
And take on Andrew McDonald's. Like, I don't know. I don't see why Vegas would do that.
It's a lot to give up, but this draft isn't very deep. So,
Yeah, but you're not getting us. It'd be different if there were, like, you know, Matthews and Laine and then the rest of the guys. But these are guys that are going to be, like, okay players. You might get a better player at number 6 than number 2.
That's true.
It could happen. So I think Vegas would be stupid to do that.
Well, McDonald makes it stupid. There's no reason to take. And like you just said, apparently they're up against the cap already.
Yeah, right. Yeah, the Flyers should be taking bad contracts. No, I didn't say that.
Flyers have been taking bad contracts.
Yeah, so, I mean, Vegas has like 10 defensemen, and they're up against the cap, so no, they're not taking Andrew McDonald.
Yeah, maybe some McDonald's, but not Andrew McDonald. And then the other one is not hockey-related at all. David Delp. I have seen this posted elsewhere, David Delp, so this isn't very original, but it could be for you, Mark. It could be original. As far as you know, this is original content.
All right.
If traveling backwards through time is possible, isn't it likely that the lottery is just a giant sting operation by the time police to catch unscrupulous time travelers? Because there's such drastic, ridiculous, amazingly big odds that you could win the lottery. This is the way I had seen it described before, because you can't picture how big the odds are. It's like 234 million or something. I can't remember what the odds are.
Odds are of what?
Of winning the lottery.
Like the...
I guess the Powerball.
I was going to say, not the NHL draft lottery.
No. We're off hockey now.
Yeah.
is if you took a dollar bill, if you took dollar bills, however many, or if you took, like, oh, I think it was 234 million. I could be wrong. If you took 234 million $1 bills, they would wrap around pretty much like the coast of the continental United States if you laid them down end to end, right?
Really?
That's how it would. They would be able to circle the continental United States. Probably not to a T, but pretty close. So the odds of you winning are then taking all those million $1 bills, those 234 million $1 bills, laying them all down, face down, and just somewhere along the way, just taking one and putting it face up. And then just telling you, all right, walk along with your eyes closed, and at some point, lean down and pick one up, and if it's heads up, then you win. That's the chances of you winning the lottery.
Wow.
Now, I know that there's other things in there. Like, you're probably going to get tired because you're walking around the whole country, but... Still, it puts in a little bit of perspective how giant your odds are. So there's no possible chance. So what he's saying is that it's so unlikely to happen that if it happens, you probably cheat it somehow. And it must be time travel.
Could be. Yeah. That's an interesting theory.
Yeah. Dissecting it sounds like it holds up. So I'm going to say, yeah, let's just go with that. I'm not going to donate any more of my money to the government, so...
No,
I do that enough.
We did that in our office there, you know, when the Powerball gets up to whatever it is.
Everybody
throw in $5, and I'm always the stick in the mud that says no.
I said yes for a while.
Really? I just don't do it. And, I don't know. I've played scratch-off tickets, and I've played the lottery in the past.
Yeah, I
worked at a deli, so, like, you know, you're bored all day, and, you know, you see people buying these things.
Yeah.
So you're like, oh, I'll try it, and every once in a while I'll do a scratch-off. But I actually like looked at the odds of them, and it's like so ridiculous.
Yeah, there's really no chance.
It's basically the only way you're going to win is if you just do it on your first try, win something, and then stop
and give up. Yeah,
because if you just keep playing them, the law of averages, just you're just going to lose in the long run. And everybody thinks that if we all pool our money together, you know, we got a better chance of winning. So what would it be like
30,
five of those dollar bills along the whole country or something
Come on. It's still ridiculously small. Like, yeah, technically you're increasing your odds, but by such a bit. I mean, that's, you know, you're throwing a drop in the ocean. Like, you're still five drops in the ocean instead. Like, it's still nothing. So, I don't know. I gave in for a while, and I did chip in. Only because, no reason for money-wise, but just because I didn't want to seem like a jerk and not give money. But then finally I was like, no, stop it. Just stop it.
No, I've been at my company for a long time, and if they've probably asked me like 50 times, and I've always said no.
Yeah.
So that $5, it's $250
I'm sure you spent that wisely.
Yeah.
Probably on your dog.
I know, right? It's like half of a vet visit or something.
Yeah. I don't know. My dad always gets me because once in a while they'll have like those $20 tickets that they do, whatever drawing. They only accept so many. And he'll ask like everybody in the family to chip in. Everybody's like, yeah, I'll chip in. And I'm like, dad, no, I'm not going to. No. No way. There was one time at work where everybody chipped in and they won $80. 40 people chipped in.
Yeah.
40, like one to be exact. So not even, everybody didn't even get $2 back. And first of all, we didn't even find out about it until a month later because the lady that did the lottery just put it back into more lottery tickets. She's like, oh, I was like, do we ever win? She's like, oh yeah, we won $80 like last month, but I just put it back into the pot because nobody's going to want $2. I'm like, no, anything, just like a high five would have been great, you know,
right.
Like just so that I knew that this wasn't like for nothing, but.
And then the best thing is the people at work will say, like, you know, well, what happens if we all win and you don't? Well, I'd like to think I'm a likable enough person that somebody's going to help me out a little bit.
I said that to my dad because my dad said, well, when we all win, and I was like, you're my family. If you don't give me money when you win the lottery, I'm screwed. You're like, come on. I don't know. Somebody said it to me at work, too, and they said, well, what happens when we all win? I said, I don't know. I'm going to get a bunch of new, cool coworkers. I guess I'm still away from you guys.
The
so it works.
Worst part is you're getting a promotion. Because everybody else is
exactly
leaving,
right. I'm the only one that's going to be here that knows what the hell's going on. So they need me here now. So, hey, things are looking up in my career, at least.
Exactly.
It's a win-win for me. I don't know. Well, I guess that's going to wrap us up for us here. Hopefully we'll get back with everybody on Sunday.
Yeah, maybe we'll dive into some of those trades and stuff because we didn't have time to get into it. Jordan Eberle going to the Islanders and Jonathan Drouin going to the Canadiens. Eastern Conference.
Yeah,
going to be some much better.
Formidable opponents.
Yeah.
So
Edmonton just keeps sending all their good players to the Metropolitan Division.
Yeah, thanks. You know, screw us. And they're taking our colors.
I know, right?
What's going on here? We apologize for not getting with you guys sooner, but thanks for sticking in. We are going to be with you guys all summer. It's probably going to be a little choppy like this because the summer gets a little dry at times anyway, and we got a lot going on right now, so... but we, like I said, hopefully be back in your ears on Sunday. As always, I forget all of our places that I have to mention here. Broadcastbullies.com, go there, I guess. Facebook.com.
This is your job. I zone out during this time.
Facebook.com/broadcastbullies. We do a ton of our posting on there. Twitter is @BulliesPodcast. And as always, find us on any like podcast catcher, iTunes, Stitcher, whatever. Just search for Broadcast Bullies. And as always, comment, send us some messages, whatever you got, and we'll get to it, answer some stuff, and I don't know, talk about some cool stuff. So definitely I'm going to be saying tomorrow night, let's go Flyers. We'll be right back.